Cartoonist Scott Adams is here. For 10 years, Dilbert, his cartoon creation, has offered a look at contemporary corporate culture and the plight of the modern-day office worker. It has become the fastest-growing comic strip in syndication, appearing in more than 1,900 newspapers with a worldwide readership of about 150 million. With its success, the Dilbert phenomenon has transcended the comic page. In the past 3 years, the cartoon has spanned a vast empire, which includes best-selling books, an internet site, and over 700 Dilbert-inspired products. In January, the animated television series Dilbert debuted on UPN, and here is a clip from the series.
Mom? Mom?
In here, dear. Push a little harder. Get your shoulder into it.
Mom, what are you doing?
Stockpiling.
Stockpiling? Why?
Where have you been? Haven't you heard about Y2K?
Heard of it? I'm in charge of fixing the bug for my whole company.
You are. God help them.
Thanks, Mom.
Maybe you should start hoarding essential supplies before it's too late.
Why are you hoarding hair conditioner?
I had a coupon.
Mom, it would be a lot easier to talk to you if I could see you.
I'm not here. I'm at the warehouse shopping club with a moving van.
Am I so predictable you can record your side of the conversation in advance?
Yes, you are so predictable I can record my side of the conversation in advance. Put it back.
I am pleased to have Scott Adams join us now for a conversation about his guy, Dilbert. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me.
Charles Schulz was on this program once, and he said that he thinks that along with jazz, comic strips are the one pure American art form. You agree?
Yeah, I think so. The best cartoonists are probably coming out of the United States. I think we kind of own this art form, so I'll go with that.
Yeah. Is that most of the best come out of the United States? Is that not, I mean, how prevalent are cartoons around the world?
Well, they're everywhere,
that
but...
didn't originate here.
You know, I say that ours are the best because I can't read those other languages, so they don't do much for me.
Do you need to read them to sort of get the sense of them?
Well, some of them. It helps, yeah.
How did it come about for you?
Well, for me, it was the shortest version of the story is that I was working at Pacific Bell in my little cubicle, and one day I bought a book on how to become a cartoonist. I'd always been a doodler, and I read the directions in the book, and it tells you how to send off your cartoons to various syndication companies. And I sent off my little photocopies to half a dozen companies, and United Media called me and said, how would you like to be a syndicated cartoonist? And
that's
I said, I would like that.
How long had you thought about it?
Since I was 6 years old, probably. Literally, I think I learned to read by looking at Peanuts books. And I thought, you know, this looks like a much better job than, you know, my uncle who's a farmer. I mean, that looks like hard work, this drawing pictures. Good job.
And how much of Dilbert is you?
I've estimated that at least a third of Dilbert is me. Got the same glasses, had that same cubicle job. I've had his luck. But he's also a composite of people I've worked with.
Schulz, I think, said that Charlie Brown was 60% him and 40% of his imagination. So you're saying it's 33% of you, a composite of other people, and then maybe a third.
Yeah, I'd say it's about 70% people that I've known directly about a third me, personally.
The notion of Dilbert, how do you explain this phenomenon?
Well, it's one of those things that seems really obvious after you do it.
Yeah.
But here were, I don't know, 45 million people in the United States alone who were in cubicles, and they had no voice. They had all this common experience, but they had no way to express it. And so when I started doing cartoons originally, I wasn't really focusing on his office life. But after I started running my email and people said, we like that office stuff you keep doing, I started doing more of it. It was just a kind of an obvious thing to do. And people said, you know, you're talking for us. So
all right, folks,
huge.
That is a video from 1999 of the late Scott Adams playing it to honor him. Here as he died this morning, unfortunately. Michael Cargill in studio with me. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back.
In my kitchen, I cook what's right. Simple. simple traditions, pure delight. Optimal human beef tallow treats meals just right. Cook strong at high heat with a taste so bright. So get yourself to the Alex Jones store. Support the crew and the InfoWars.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms!
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective.
Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined today in studio by Michael Cargill. You can follow him on X at Michael D. Cargill. Of course, he is the owner-operator of Central Texas Gunworks. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Very good. It's been a while.
You know, you pulled out this knife. I need to see that knife.
You want to see the knife?
Oh, yeah, because I remember when the story of right before the Jews crucified, you know, Jesus, they told the disciples, you know, you might want to sell your cloak and buy yourself a sword. So, you know what?
This is practically a sword, yes. I think, yes.
So you definitely want to get one of these, let me tell you. And you know what? If you bring this sucker to me, I will engrave this sucker with, you know, with we'll figure out something to engrave on here.
Oh, you know, it's got the cool design on the inside.
It's
pop
beautiful.
It open.
Oh, man, it's beautiful.
It's got
look at that.
It's got the pinup girl there.
Oh, yeah.
It really is a beautiful knife. And, you know, not to insult guns, but you don't have to reload this thing.
No.
It'll never jam.
No, not at all.
That's an efficient killing machine.
And you could never go wrong with a knife.
That's right.
It makes it very intimate.
It makes you want. I mean, you hold this thing, and you're like, oh, I wish somebody would attack me so I could do something with this.
We call that send him up the escalator to Jesus.
Yes, exactly. We'll put this right here. We'll keep this on display. It's a little tough to get out, but that's what you want. You don't want it falling out of your case, so that's what you want there.
Nice.
We'll try to balance this. So, yes, the knife is beautiful, and you can get it at thealexjonesstore.com. But you, of course, are a purveyor of guns, a seller of firearms. How's business going these days?
It's going pretty good. We are, I tell you, it's that time of year where, you know, the tax stamp's down to zero. So people are trying to get their suppressors. They're trying to do Form 1, their SBRs and stuff like that, because they don't have to pay that $200 tax stamp anymore. But, you know, I'm kind of upset with the administration because, you know, the Trump administration, they're in control of the White House. They have the House. The Republicans have the House. They have the Senate. And, you know, I'm upset because they have all three branches, and we shouldn't have to, you know, register suppressors or register, you know, short barrel rifles or short barrel shotguns. We should be able to walk into the gun store, whatever, walk into anywhere and just, you know, and buy one of those. You know, you shouldn't have to go through that process. And that's very disheartening.
And, you know, I think last time I think last time you were on with me, it seems so long ago. I can't believe but I think it was during COVID when everybody was wanting to buy a gun. I remember I actually went into Central Texas Gunworks to get one, and y'all were so packed. I was like, I got to come back later because the line was so long. Are you seeing a similar pattern right now? I mean, it seems like things are getting a little crazier. I'm thinking more about personal security. Are you seeing that in a wider trend? Or
I'm definitely seeing that with suppressors. So people are actually going everywhere they can to find themselves a suppressor, a silencer, whatever you want to call it, and they're trying to get them. And the ATF, they're actually crashing. The website, you can't even do the paperwork during the day. It's very difficult. So actually for my customers, I'm going in at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning and processing the paperwork and uploading it, you know, sending it into the ATF to get it done then.
It's wow. Crazy. And it does seem like, I mean, the problem with gun control in this country is just like so many other things with the government. It's like a ratchet, right? It's like it only goes one direction. They're only ever tightening down our gun control. Now that we have the House and the Senate, is there ever even a discussion of, hey, let's roll back some of the restraints? Let's get more guns in the hands of people.
No, we need to keep the pressure on the Department of Justice. We need to keep the pressure on with the Trump administration and say, hey, you know, you're now in control. You have this year to, you know, really you have until like March, April, that first the first 90 days here of this year to make sure that we pass something. We need to pass a bill. It does not need to be executive order, because the next president that comes in office can just sign something the first 24 hours and just negate that. Yep. So we need Congress to create a bill, a law, and put it into place where you don't have to register your SBRs. You don't have to register your suppressors or your silencers or whatever. You can just, you know, just walk in and get it and walk out.
Yeah, absolutely. And it would take Congress having to do that. But, you know, it's like, add it to the list, I guess, right? Add that to the ever-growing list of things that Congress should be doing and that they're just not moving on. And, I mean, this is – I feel like a broken record now. It's like, just do something, guys. But the Congress right now in the Senate, I mean, they – are incapable of doing anything. I mean, how do we light a fire under their butt?
I really would love for them to pass constitutional carry across all 50 states. That would be beautiful, where you don't need a license at all. But I don't think they have the appetite for it. I mean, they can't even vote on a Speaker of the House.
Right.
So I'm at the point now where, okay, it's baby steps. I'll settle for a conceal, you know, for a concealed carry reciprocity. You know, at least let my license be recognized in all 50 states. You know, I'll settle for that right now. And then later on down the road, we'll go back and hit constitutional carry. Yeah. So in fact, we should have constitutional carry across all 50 states. I should be able to walk into New York, into California, and carry whatever gun, whatever magazine capacity I want to, an AR-15 with 30 round magazine without having to California it, you know, and walk in and out of that state.
Right. After all, I'm pretty sure, tell me if I'm wrong, the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed, right? It doesn't say it won't be eliminated. The infringement is also against the Constitution. And people seem to forget that part.
Oh, they totally forget about it altogether, I'm telling you.
So they just, it's the ratchet. It's, well, you can have guns, just not this type of gun, just not that many bullets. And eventually you end up totally defenseless, which I think, you know, I think people that didn't care about guns before, I mean, they see the way things are going and they see the way that justice is denied people these days. I mean, I'm not going to trust the police to defend me right now. I need to defend myself. And I think more people are waking up and realizing that. Again, are you seeing a lot of new customers? Are you seeing people who already have guns doubling down? Because like I said, I'm thinking about self-defense right now, and I'm you know, buying new guns and making sure I always am carrying. And
yeah, what I'm seeing is when you have the President of the United States, you have the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of the War, pull all your general officers together, put them in the same room, and they release the fact that they're talking about the PT program, fat soldiers, you know, I call, you know, bull. You know, that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about something else. So something is being planned, something is going on, and people need to wake up. You need to get yourself ready. You need to get yourself some guns. You need to get yourself some ammunition. You need to make sure you have your food, your water, your family's ready. There's a plan in place. You know, have an emergency plan or something like that, because something is on the horizon, and I don't know if it's aliens. I don't know what's going on, but something is happening, and you need to be prepared for it. Because there's no way in the world that the United States, the President of the United States, the Secretary of War is going to pull general officers, every single general officer from around the world, and pull them into a room to discuss fat soldiers. We call that a memo.
Right.
That's a memo. That is not what you do.
Yeah. And so there's got to be a different reason they're getting together, and we should be concerned about that. And I guess, what do you think about the leftists now that have suddenly discovered their love of the Second Amendment because they're fantasizing about going out and killing ICE patrols? Because it's this weird inversion of everything, where now we as the libertarian, you know, pro liberty people are cheering on the federal agents, but it's because they're actually, you know, enforcing the law. They're not going after American citizens. They're not trying to take our guns. They're doing, you know, what must be done for the safety of America. But on the other hand, you've got the leftists going, this is what the Second Amendment's all about. How do you respond to that?
Well, you know, it's I'm glad they're educating themselves, you know,
right?
Even if it's for the wrong reason, but that's okay. You know, I'm glad I'm like, see the light, you know, come on, Caroline, you know,
right.
Look for the light.
It's yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 Maybe now they'll actually understand why we have the Second Amendment, even though they're just completely off the mark with it. When it comes to ICE, I mean, how do you see, things progressing here? Cause I also see, like, all right, if people start getting guns and going to shoot up ICE officers on a regular basis, that's going to lead to gun control. Like, I see everything the left is doing now just directly contributing to whatever efforts for tyranny that are coming down the pipe.
Yeah, you're just going to, you know, you're going to open up the door, and you're going to, you know, let this president, you know, release, you know, the National Guard and stuff like that. And we really shouldn't be to that point at all. So we got to be very careful, you know, not to push, you know, this president's not playing around. You know, we look at, you know, what happened with Venezuela. You know, if you had learned anything at all, you know, listen to the people when they talk about, you know, what happened, the weapons that were used and the effectiveness and how everything was shut down. All the power was actually cut off. You know, the military, you know, Secretary Hegseth, you know, he's not playing around. He's actually growing the Department of War to a, you know, serious killer machine. You know, I look at Russia, you know, that country, they should have been able to wipe, you know,
Ukraine
off the face of the planet within the matter of, you know, days. But they couldn't do that. Right. You know, you're really not a superpower. The United States, we are a superpower. We are a force to be reckoned with. You know, when we can walk into a country and eliminate your military, kill the security people for the president of that country and snatch him out of his bed in the middle of the night, you better.
Seems like it sort of changed the whole like dynamic of international relations. I mean, I know if I was Putin, I'd be going, oh, geez, maybe I'm not as safe as I thought I was. Because I mean, and I don't know if we've gone over some of the details on this show yet, but there was that account from one of the security guards. I mean, it sounded like an alien invasion. It was like suddenly all the lights go out, suddenly all their phones disconnect. They all start bleeding out of their nose and mouth. I mean, it sounded crazy. And, you know, it's in the middle of a capital city in wartime. They've got they spent $8 billion on defensive, you know, radar systems. None of it helped. So, I mean, that's got to send a chill down the spine of Xi Jinping or Vladimir Putin.
Oh, absolutely.
They were safe up till then.
If you're Iran, you should be shaking in your boots.
Seriously.
You know, if you're Cuba, you should be very worried, worried right now. If you are anyone that's in our crosshairs, you better be very concerned, because I'm telling you right now, this president is not playing at all.
Yeah. Although he doesn't seem to have that same, you know, oomph when it comes to domestic issues. Why do you think that is?
And that's the one thing that upsets me. You know, I wish we had him on our side when it came to the Second Amendment like that. I wish, you know, the way he's attacking these other countries, that which we probably need to, because we need those resources. But we need to do that when it comes to the home front. We need to care about the people on the home front. You know, Americans right here. We need to America first.
Yeah,
we need to get back to that and talk about, you know, hey, you know, what about our Second Amendment rights here? You know, what about constitutional carry, you know, and things like that? And that's the one thing that concerns me, that we are not focusing on that at all.
Yeah. And again, things are heating up and getting kind of crazy. In fact, I know your gun store was robbed. Who robs a gun store? Like, that alone to me is like a bad signal, because somebody robbing a gun store is not somebody you want to live in your country. What happened?
Harrison, let me tell you. This guy walks in, two guys actually, walk into the gun store. They steal a firearm. You know, the one guy, he takes a gun. He actually runs out the store with it. You know how you show someone the firearm or whatever? He, you know, takes a gun out, runs out the door with it, you know, goes around the side of the building. You know, my guys are on point, you know. So one of my employees actually called 911. My other employees jumped into a vehicle. I go out the back door. This guy go along the side of the buildings. We're actually looking at the camera, so we're watching him and seeing what he's doing. And I go out the – when I go out the back, he actually runs – there's a city bus station next to us.
Right.
So he goes over to the bus station. He actually runs and jumps on the city bus. I run over. I stop the bus. I stand in front of the city bus, and I tell the bus driver, call your security. This bus is not moving. There's a guy stole a gun. He's in the back of the bus. We're not going anywhere.
Never use a city bus as a getaway vehicle. That's his first – well, that may be his fifth mistake. His first mistake was robbing Central Texas Gun Works. But then you hop on a bus. Okay. So you stop the bus.
So then I tell the bus driver to open the door. I jump on the bus. I say, close the door, lock the door, don't let anyone off. I said, we're not going anywhere. So we're calling the police. You know, we called them like four times. You know, nothing happened. I end up having to call ATF. I said, hey, you know, we got this guy, stole a gun. He's on the bus. I'm holding the bus. You know, the bus is not moving.
Right.
And we need, you know, police here. We've called them like four times. I said, okay, we got it. So they call APD, the Austin Police Department. And so they're on their way. Agents are from the ATF are on their way. And I tell, you know, the people in the bus, I turn around them. I said, hey, we're not going anywhere. The guys on the bus were like, hey, you can't hold us without, you know, against our will. I turned sideways because I'm open carry my 1911 with a cross on it. I said,
right,
no one's getting off this bus. And so then as soon as I said that, you know, everyone on the bus grabbed their cell phone. They're dialing 911. I said, I don't care what you do. You can call them and you tell them there's a black guy on the bus with a gun. This bus is not moving. And so they're going off on their phones, calling everyone. And this guy's in the back of the bus. This guy is in the back of the bus. He's pacing. So he's pacing back and forth. He lights up a cigarette.
On the bus, okay.
On the bus. He smokes his cigarette. He's looking at me, and I'm looking at him. I said, you do whatever you're going to do, but I tell you what, you're not getting off this bus. As a matter of fact, we will die on this bus before I let you off this bus with that gun. So figure out what you're going to do, because it will end right here. So at that point, the people on the bus started calling. They're calling, like, the director of the city. I heard one guy talking to, like, the bus companies, you know, their hotline,
they're
whatever.
Metro,
they're calling everybody. And so finally, the APD shows up, the ATF shows up, and they handcuff this guy. They get on the bus, they handcuff him and his buddy. And then, you know, they're searching him. They say, we don't have anything. There's no gun. I said, trust me, there's a gun. He has it in a backpack, and it's on this bus. So they're searching, they're searching, they're searching. They can't find it. They're searching, they're looking, they can't find it. I tell my employees, I said, hey, text me the security camera footage of this guy with the backpack.
Right.
So they send me the backpack. I show the officers the backpack. They say, okay. So they continue to look. They're looking, can't find it. They continue to look. And then finally, they found the backpack in the back of the bus under the seat, you know, in the back with the gun inside. And boom, we caught him.
And that's how you stop crime, folks, just like that. So this was in the middle of the day? This was just like, what time was this?
This is like 12 noon in the afternoon. I'm actually on my way to the airport to jump on a plane because my dad was having actually heart surgery. I'm trying to get to the airport to get on the plane. And then all this, you know, lays out. And I'm like almost late for my flight. It's like, but there's no way this guy, that plane's going to wait. This guy's not, he is not leaving with this gun.
Of course not. I mean, isn't that just sort of symbolic? You've been in Austin for a long time, right? I mean, how long have you lived here?
I've lived here since 1999.
Yeah.
You know, and we have, you know, in the gun store, we've been there like 18 years, and
right.
We have all kinds of things that actually happen at the gun store where we have gangs, you know, from Houston, Texas, drive over, try to break into the gun store, you know, doing COVID and stuff like that. You know, we've had, you know, people try to get guns or try to commit mass shootings. You have all kinds of things. So it's always something. And so, you know, we always kind of, you know, educate ourselves when it comes to security, when it comes to, you know, technology and stuff like that. And we try to grow every single year, you know, to something better.
Yeah.
It's a process, and it takes a lot.
Well, and it's hard to do with a city that has become, absolutely covered in homeless camps and the police don't respond anymore. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, from people that are sitting outside the gun store that are smoking crack.
Yeah.
You know, people that are, you know, walking by trying to, you know, get in through the door at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. It's always something, you know.
Yeah, it's just getting crazier and crazier. And so, yeah, it's no wonder but more people are talking about protecting themselves. And especially in Austin, the police won't come if it's not an active threat, right?
No.
I mean,
no. I had a situation where, you know, a guy actually tried to break into the gun store probably about 2 or 3 months ago, and he broke the speaker that we use to communicate with people outside the building. He got away about 4 o'clock that day. The 7-Eleven down the street called me up and said, hey, Mike, we got this guy that you said, you know, broke into the gun store. He's actually in the 7-Eleven. I said, okay. So I go over to the 7-Eleven. I said, hey, you know, I looked at this guy. I said, okay. Yeah, that's him. So I called 911. I said, hey, we got this guy that tried to break into the gun store. Here's the police report. He's inside the 7-Eleven. You know, send the police. They're like, hey, what do you want us to do about it?
Yeah.
I said, well, I'm holding him at gunpoint. And I hung up the phone.
Yeah.
About 10 police officers showed up to the guns, showed up to 7-Eleven there and pulled into the parking lot. And I immediately put my hands in the air. I said, I don't have a gun. I would never pull a gun out in this situation. The guy's right there. Yeah, he broke into the gun store.
Yeah, go get him. No, it's like a common thing now. People go, well, if you need the cops to get there, tell them you have a gun and they'll show up. But other than that, they literally won't show up.
Yeah, you can lie to 911, but you cannot lie to police. 911 are not law enforcement, so I can lie to 911 dispatcher, but you cannot lie to police. That's a Supreme Court case.
But it's a shame that you shouldn't have to anyway, right? You got a guy that tried to break into your gun store right there, identified on camera with the police report. You would think that would be enough to get somebody out, but it's not. And again, I think people are sort of realizing this, especially just seeing what's going on with the Department of Justice and these people. I mean, yesterday I had a story, a guy 57. He'd been arrested 57 times and then was out on bail and killed somebody. I mean, law and order is falling apart. So, of course, people are going for guns.
Yeah, you have these cities. The major cities are filled with these DAs or district attorneys who are being funded by Soros or whoever. And they're not prosecuting, you know, people that need to prosecute. Instead, they want to prosecute police officers who are actually trying to do their job. And so that's the one thing that, you know, we're having a huge problem with. You know, you have people that are repeat offenders, sex offenders, people that are breaking into businesses that are graduating to the next phase. And they're not prosecuting these people. people at all. And that's going to be the problem. And we need to get rid of these DAs, these district attorneys, these county attorneys, and especially, you know, in Texas, you know, all your major cities, it's like this major liberal mecca, you know, and and we really need to, people need to wake up and get to the polls, go vote and get rid of these people and get them out of office.
Yeah, we got to recognize where all of this is coming from, because I feel like a lot of people, I mean, you know, people are just zoned out. They're not paying attention. They don't get what's going on. And so they don't have a plan. So if an emergency strikes, they're going to be completely like unprepared. You mentioned that before. I mean, it seems obvious, but people need to be reminded. You have to have a plan in place before the emergency happens. So what would you advise people, like, right now? What are the biggest dangers people have to face? How should they be prepared for them?
Absolutely. You need to figure out how you're going to draw your firearm. If you need to pull that gun out of your concealed carry position, pull out of your holster, how are you going to do that? You know, what are steps going to take for you to actually pull that gun out? Do you have a safety on the firearm? You know, do you have to put a round in the chamber? Do you already have a round in the chamber? Whatever your steps are, I don't carry a gun with a safety. I carry a round in my chamber. So when I pull that gun out, I'm going to put you on the escalator to Jesus and send you on up and let Jesus sort it out. You know, so that, but you need to practice your plan, you know, have an emergency, you know, outline of what's going to happen. If I'm at the home, at home, and I'm out, or I'm out shopping somewhere and my family's with me, you know, we have a code word that we use, a word that we can just say in a sentence to say, hey, there's an emergency going on. We need to get out of here to get the family. Let's go. Because it's about protecting me. It's about protecting my family. And we need to focus on that. So get that code word, have a plan in place, whether you're out and about going about the day. It could be a mass shooter. It could be anything that's going on. You need to be prepared for your family. You know, here we are in Austin, and we're going to have the I guarantee you, we're going to have this snowpocalypse that's going to pop up. You know, everything's going to shut down. People are not thinking about water. They're not thinking about electricity, whether they have a generator. They're not thinking about food right now. It's going to be 3 or 4 days. You need to plan for any type of emergency. Something is going on in the United States right now. I said it once. I said it again. When the president of the United States and the secretary of war gets together, pulls all the general officers from around the world into one room to discuss fat soldiers, that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about something else. So you better get your family in check and get them ready. Have a plan of what you're going to do. Do you have guns? Do you have ammunition? Do you have food? Do you have water? Do the dogs, your pets have food? That is important. You need to have a plan of what you're going to do, because if you do not, you're going to get caught by the wayside. And I'm telling you now.
Yeah. And it, you know, guns are kind of the most important part of that, right? Because you can have all the food in the world, but if somebody with a gun comes up, that's their food.
Absolutely. You know, you need to have guns, ammunition, enough ammunition, because we don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on. We won't know until it actually happens.
Yeah. And you got to have a plan before that breaks out. Now, I do want to go to calls. We have time for one call here before the break, then we'll go to more on the other side. Let's go to Sean in Alaska. Who's called in about border and immigration on line 4. Go ahead, Sean. You're on the air.
Yeah. Are you there, Harrison?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Just a couple quick points real quick. Why did the liberals not change the U.S. code on deportation when Biden was in office? I think it's because they don't want this. Remember the Great Reset. They want an angrier world, like what Klaus Schwab said. They want this. They want a new division intact. That's like their new division tactic.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. What do you think about that? The fact that they're allowing the border chaos to take place because it causes chaos that they can take advantage of.
We need to protect our borders 100%. We need to make sure that, you know, because anybody can get through. You know, you have people that are trying to, their goal in life is to kill us and wipe us off the face of the earth. And if we don't secure our borders, we're going to be in trouble.
We let them in by the millions. More with Michael Cargill on the other side from Central Texas Gunworks. Don't go anywhere, folks.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish CMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine. And he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it. It has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, oh, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is. But it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin. You're missing a mineral. And you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I, of course, am your host, Harrison Smith. You can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Take advantage of the 40% off sale on this beautiful knife that we have available. Life is fiery with its beauty. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I'm here with Michael Cargill. You can follow him on X at Michael D. Cargill. MichaelCargill.com is where you can go to find out more about him. He, of course, owns Central Texas Gunworks and is always involved in some crazy things going on in Austin. But we're going to take your phone calls and see what you have to say. Let's go to line one here. Max in Wisconsin. You're on the air about Trump. Go ahead.
Hey, since you have Michael Cargill on, can I first get his thoughts on FRT triggers before I make my Trump comment?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you asked that question because you know that my case, the Cargill case, which is the bump stock case that went all the way to the United States Supreme Court, that case actually made it easier for, you know, FRTs to be illegal in the country. So thanks to the bump stock case, we actually totally killed the ATF, and they weren't able to ban the brace anymore. They're not able to ban FRTs, the force reset triggers anymore. So because of the Cargill bump stock case, it totally just you know, weaken the ATF. So now they have to go through Congress. And we know Congress is not going to get anything done because they can't even vote on a Speaker of the House, you know, effectively. So
I wouldn't be surprised if they came together. You know, if it's something that we don't want to have happen, I'm sure they can muster the energy to do that. But that's great. So that's huge. For those of us that aren't super familiar, what are FRT?
Yeah. So the force reset trigger, it allows you to, you know, basically fire a rifle or a hand, whatever, you know, faster, you know.
Okay.
So it kind of mimics, you know, it's kind of similar to, you know, almost like a machine gun, but it really is not.
Right.
Because definitely if a machine gun is one action of the trigger, more than one round goes out, that's a machine gun. But if I pull the trigger, only one round goes out, one action of the trigger, that's a semi-automatic. So it still keeps it as semi-automatic.
Just taking advantage of the mechanics there. Does that answer your question, Max?
Yeah. You know, basically, you know, with criminals having like the switch, which is like illegal, fully automatic, I think FRTs are important just because then you can legally have something that's very similar to full auto to protect yourself. And, you know, like you said, in any bad situation for prepping, you know, so you'd recommend buying an FRT for prepping?
Absolutely. I recommend you have an FRT. I recommend you having several 30-round magazines and you know, and thousands of rounds of ammunition. And make sure everyone in the household is prepared and they're trained.
It used to be like you'd have to spend $30,000 to get some 1980s full auto, but now you can, for $200, buy an FRT and drop it into your AR-15 and have something that's basically the same, which I think is great, you know, that we have that type of freedom. But I was wondering, Harrison, regarding Trump, if you saw, I've called in before and mentioned that he's our lunar eclipse president, and his astrological sign then is like a chaos and order type thing, and his power time period is during full moons. He did the Venezuela strike and scooped up Maduro during the full moon. Did you see that?
Interesting. I had not seen that.
Yeah, I think it's always interesting. And he did the Iran strike also during a new moon, you know, and it's just, they say like people who have that as their star sign astrological symbol, that during a moon event, lunar eclipses, full moons, new moons, whatever, they have like more likelihood of their actions being successful, you know, so
interesting.
I thought it was kind of interesting.
I had not noticed that. Wasn't paying attention to the phases of the moon during these big events. That is interesting. I mean, there's definitely something to that. I mean, it's a phenomenon, but it's absolutely true. It's often I often have it where I'm like, man, something's off right now. Something feels weird, and it's like, oh, it's a full moon. I mean, it clearly does affect people. I don't know about how that applies to Trump though. Thank you very much for the call, Max. Any comments on that?
No.
It is interesting. Could be a coincidence. Could be something more. We don't know. Let's go to Garrett in California here. You've called in about some of the free speech stuff going on in Australia. Go ahead, Garrett. You're on the air.
I was just wondering, you know, how long it's going to be before that's what we're dealing with here? Because, you know, 90% of the people out there aren't listening to what's going on in Australia and New Zealand. I have one of my best friends in the UK. And now I'm afraid to text him certain things because, for obvious reasons, I don't want to get in trouble. And I am in California, and my wife reminded me, well, you know, in the last hour, that I'll bring up things on a local basis. And it was maybe like, I hate to say this, but it was like 14, 15 years ago where Glenn Beck made a few comments about be very careful to think about your school districts and your county supervisors and stuff like that. And my wife says things like, well, how come we don't even hear about the elections going up? And all of a sudden it's like, it's come to fruition. Mm. Every single time there's I put up a post about illegal, you know, taco stands in my town. And you'd think that the fury of God was come over
right.
me, you know, and, you know, I noticed that people would come out and say things. And I made a comment about, well, I make these comments because I want other people to come from their corner. And there's people that are conservative, but they're scared. Are they scared of,
yep.
you know, I can't make that thing. But at some point, it's ridiculous because I've gone out of my way to say, hey, this is an open, I guess I made a few comments to social media, the social media companies. I got no response. I've gotten kicked off of every.
And it doesn't matter how polite you are, or how much you couch your objection in language like, "Oh, look, I don't hate anybody, but you know, we should do this." No, you're exactly right. I get what you're saying, that it's the people that you're surrounded by right now that would be happy to usher in free speech laws like Australia, or anti-free speech laws like Australia is implementing right now. What's your take on that, Michael? I mean, the First and Second Amendment, these are two peas in a pod, right?
Yeah, the people that you need to know in your area, your county, your city is going to be your county commissioner. You need to know who your sheriff is. You need to know who your district attorney is, because those people are the most important. You know, the district attorney, you know, is going to prosecute you, prosecute whoever. The sheriff can kick the federal authorities out of the county. The commissioner holds the purse strings, you know, in the county. We found that out doing COVID and things like that. So those three people, you really need to know who they are. So very important when it comes to your elections
and your life. You know, those are the elections that actually impact, you know, your neighborhood and your quality of life. Now, what about people being afraid to speak up? Because I think it's beyond people being afraid to speak up. I keep finding that people are afraid to even like be introduced to these ideas. Like there are some people where I'm like, I would talk to them about politics, but I just know they're going to freeze up and like get scared the moment, you know, we talk about something that could even be potentially contentious. People are scared. How do we get them to break out of that?
You just have to start those conversations, you know, have that, discussion, say, hey, this is what's going on. You know, what are your thoughts? You know, what about this? And give them a different mindset. You know, let them, you know, see if they can look at it from a different point of view. You know, can you look at it from this angle? You know, can you see, you know, what can happen over here? And maybe they'll come around. You know, you just never know.
You say, what if ICE is actually not, abducting citizens? Are you still doing the right thing? But yeah, I think it really is fear that's keeping, you know, if you go to the root of it, it's fear that's causing all these other problems. It's people just being absolutely afraid to speak up and say what's wrong when they absolutely know what's wrong. Everybody knows. Everybody's just afraid to say. Let's go to line seven here. Matthew in Texas is a former Air Force veteran. Go ahead, Matthew, you're on the air.
Hello. Harrison. Hey, I just wanted to let all the veterans out there know that, you know, I did some time in the United States Air Force as a flying crew chief. And, you know, back when the Biden administration was in office and we pulled out of Afghanistan, I'm almost positive that they were bringing Muslims into the country from Afghanistan, completely unvetted.
They were, for sure.
I kind of hope that, I'm hoping, you know, that they're still not doing this under the new leadership, but I just wanted to let all the veterans out there kind of, you know, maybe, you know, keep an eye on that, you know, maybe, yeah, that's definitely something that we should, be on the lookout for.
Yeah, we definitely should not be involved in that.
And thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do what I can. So, yeah, thanks, Harrison.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, I mean, they've, you know, they're unvetted. They've moved in by the millions. It's not stopping, I don't think. I mean, they're still allocating $5 billion for migrants as we speak. And it ain't because it's good for us. Let's just say that. Let's go to clip line eight here. Nick in Minnesota. I want to talk about what's going on in Minneapolis, or at least there in Minnesota. Go ahead, Nick. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. So I just wanted to talk about the corruption that's going on in the state. I've grown up in the Twin Cities my entire life, went to public schools in St. Paul. St. Paul is quite different from Minneapolis. We're very similar, but as far as the politics are concerned, we're a lot different. The corruption in the state has been going on for a long time, you guys. I first saw it when I was a kid. Teenager going to school, and all these transportation companies started popping up that were Somalian. And you'd see them everywhere, and it didn't make sense, just like the daycare centers. And millions of dollars seem to be allocated towards popping up all of these transportation companies, and it was really weird. Then all of a sudden the daycare fraud came out, and there's not enough coverage on the Feeding Our Future, and now there's all this daycare center stuff coming out. Just read that the feds are probing into hundreds of millions of dollars of cash that was leaving Minneapolis International Airport that was in Somalian luggage that was going out of state.
Yeah.
Half of the federal funds for Minnesota for federal programs ran in Minnesota may have been defrauded. It's been endless. Ilhan Omar one of her aides pled guilty.
It's been
absolutely endless, and I've seen it go on literally since I was about 12, 13 years old.
And it's amazing because we played the video yesterday of a guy going around the protest asking people what they thought about the Smalley fraud, and they'd either hadn't heard about it or just assumed it was fake because it was coming from a right winger. But I actually have a video. I want to go to this, and I want to get Michael Cargill's comments on it. Let's go to clip 36 here, because this is the mayor of Minneapolis who's actually admitted that fraud is real and that it's actually happening. Let's go to clip 36 now. This is Mayor Jacob Frey.
Of dollars of taxpayer money for government programs, do you think Governor Walz did enough to stop the fraud in your state? And do you support his decision not to run for re-election?
Well, look, Governor Walz is the reason that we've got paid family leave in Minnesota. He's the reason we've got free school lunches. Him and I, we've been through thick and thin.
But did he do enough to combat fraud,
over these
Mayor?
Last five
did he do
years.
Enough to combat
look,
fraud?
Look, obviously, everybody could have done more to prevent fraud. And I think that's a fair point to make. Do more to prevent fraud. And you look what he's doing right now. He's setting up a whole bunch of infrastructure to do that. And by the way, look, the fraud's real. We've all got to acknowledge it. The fraud is very real. And by the way, when somebody commits fraud, and there are many that have done that, you investigate it, you charge, you prosecute, you put the person in jail. As an individual, you put the person in jail as an individual. You do not hold an entire community, any community, accountable for the actions of individuals.
There you go. He admits the fraud is real. What do you think about that?
Go figure. I mean, my goodness, he's sitting there. He's like jerking off the freaking governor.
Well, it's funny. You see, you know, they're like, what has he done enough? And he's like, well, he's the one that started all of these programs. It's like, I don't think that's quite the argument you want to make. Like, he's the reason that there is free lunches. It's like, oh, the free lunch program that's been scammed for $10 billion. OK, so it was him the whole time. All these lefties that are acting like it's not real. Even your champion. Mayor Frey recognizes that the fraud is in fact real.
Go figure.
They'll still deny it. Let's go to Jeff in Texas on line 11. He's from Australia and wants to talk about this anti-discrimination bill. Jeff, are you an expat? Did you move away from Australia?
Yeah, man. How are you guys doing today?
Good, thank you.
All right. I left in 2010 and moved to Phoenix and ended up in Austin. Anyway, I watched that. There was like a really soft kind of tone in about 2005 or so.
Hey, I'm kind of having trouble hearing you, Jeff. I'm sorry. If you could just speak right into your phone, make sure you're not covering the mouthpiece. Just can't really hear you.
Better.
Go ahead.
So I left, like, noticed in 2005, like, the TV just kind of went, started going crazy. Like, all this censorship started to pick up a bit, and I read a lot on the internet saying like Australia was the testing ground and all that, and it just got really bad from there. It was honestly one of the reasons I agreed to leave. And I mean, I just kind of watched my family back there, and they all think I'm nuts for staying over here. And I don't know, man. It's not fun.
Well, it's an absolute bummer. And yeah, Australia has been the testing ground for the New World Order for a long time. And it seems to me like it started happening around the 90s, right around the time they disarmed everybody. Well, what do you know? I mean, Australia might be the best example of, like, that's what happens when they take your guns. It's COVID camps and anti-free speech laws. I mean, they are the warning case for us.
Right. You disarm this society, you disarm the entire country, and then here you have COVID comes over. You know, they force them to shut down. If you leave your home, they beat you, whatever. It's crazy. And that's something that I don't think we will ever allow to happen here in the United States. It definitely won't happen here in Texas for sure. Because I remember when, you know, COVID happened, they tried to, you know, shut things down here. They sent the police department, the fire marshal, and the code enforcement to the gun store.
Uh-huh.
Say, hey, we got a call that you guys were not social distancing. And so you guys need to, you know, make sure you're doing so and so. We need to come in to inspect. I said, no, you can't come in. You come in, you're trespassing, and I have more guns than you do.
Right.
So what are we going to do here? And so they stood there for a second. They thought about it, and they turned around and walked away. You know, either, put up or shut up.
You know, it's the beautiful thing about America. It's like we really do risk losing that. And I can't help but notice it's the UK, it's Germany, it's Australia. I mean, they're all getting these really draconian free speech laws. America's not. I mean, do you think that's because we have the First Amendment, or do you think that has more to do with the Second Amendment? Because obviously the First Amendment puts a restriction, but words on a paper aren't going to really stop politicians when they want to do something. Why do you think it is that America hasn't received the same level of restrictions that other countries have?
I think it's because we have the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment protects all of your constitutional rights.
Right.
With the Second, I can protect the First. I can protect the Third, the Fourth, the Fifth. I can protect all my constitutional rights. Because once I can arm myself, you know, protect myself physically, then I can say whatever I want to say.
Right.
You know, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, so absolutely, the Second is the most important.
I agree. I agree completely. Thank you for the call, Jeff. Let's go to Craig in Washington now. On line five here, he wants to talk about corruption in Washington's government. I've never heard of such a thing. Corruption, Craig, what do you mean?
My sister is a human resource commissioner for Pierce County, and she's no longer on that in that position. But in 2024, she uncovered some corruption within the Pierce County government there, where monies were allocated for government programs, but when she went to resource the money, it wasn't there. Mm. And she told me it was a lot of money. And so what this call is about is I'm really looking for help. Guys that are on the ground out there investigating. You can go to Craig, 184-860 on X, and anybody that's on the ground, I know we can get all the information that's needed for someone to go in there and actually put the county council on, you know.
So this is Washington State you're talking about?
Yeah, this is right here in Washington State. And, she talked about this a little bit with me in 2025, but it wasn't until the Minnesota fraud came out that I put two and two together, and I says, wait a minute here. This is a little bigger than just Minnesota.
Oh, it's absolutely everywhere. And, I mean, that's the thing. Every single – the county, the city, the towns, I mean, the fraud, the graft, it is relentless. It's everywhere, and it's destroying this country. I don't even know how we get a handle on this. I mean, the fraud this large, what do you even do?
We have a city manager here in Austin that it makes more than the president of the United States. Okay. The president of the United States is the most powerful person in the free world. And you have in Austin, Texas, a city manager that makes way more than he does. That's insane to me. You have a Austin Independent School District, you know, top leader there who's making more than the president of the United States. You know, what's going on here? You know, that's a problem. That is a serious problem.
It is, and it's still not enough. You can pay them these exorbitant salaries, and they'll still rob you blind if you give them the chance. And it's everywhere. It's at every different level. But that just goes back to what we were saying earlier. You got to know who your local politicians are. You got to know who you're voting for and know whether they're criminals. In Austin, in my opinion, a lot of them are massive criminals, and their graft is right out in the open. I mean, the guy Jimmy Flanagan loses his election to city council and just immediately gets given some million-dollar position in the government. It's a win-win situation for them. They either win the election or they win some, you know, cushy job for the next 4 years so they can run again. And it's absolutely everywhere. It's not just Washington either. That's what we need. And this is the thing. I mean, you can have a 23-year-old guy, Nick Shirley, go with his camera and blow this entire story out of the water. You can do that too. Everybody can do that, because I guarantee you your city is just as corrupt as Minneapolis is. So go out, get a camera, and start filming, y'all. You have any advice for people that want to try to expose this stuff?
No, you're right. You know, absolutely. That's why, you know, your podcasters, you know, those people are very important. They're actually exposing a lot of this stuff. I'm listening to everybody. I listen to as many people as I possibly can to see what's going on out there on the ground. I try to remember, you know, don't remind yourself where you are. You know, listen to everything. And, you know, there's always something going on. And it's just insane. It's just absolutely crazy.
And it's just literally every level of government. Let's go to Mike in Massachusetts on line six. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Very good, thank you. You want to talk about the anti-Semitism bill? Are you talking about the one in Australia?
Well, it's pretty much all the way around the world because You see what's happening here in America. They want to keep passing laws saying everything's anti-Semitic, and things that aren't even anti-Semitic, they're calling it. And this is all being done on purpose, again, for the ADL to get money. And they're probably going to start staging terror attacks, blaming it on anti-Semites when it's really them. Not meaning Jewish people, meaning the ADL, because you know how that all works with them and the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah, of course. And we were talking about this yesterday with Rex Jones about how sort of the worst Israel behaves, the more people get mad at it, the more they get mad at it, the more anti-Semitism there is. The more anti-Semitism there is, the more that places like the ADL can accrue power or donations or anything else. So it's a pretty sick feedback loop. And I don't care what your excuse is. Hands off the First Amendment, hands off the Second Amendment. It really doesn't matter whether you predicate it on anti-Semitism or child sex abuse material. It's like most of the things that they're putting forward right now are frankly illegitimate and, you know, wouldn't solve the problem that they're predicated on in the first place. But obviously we are seeing this happen in a worldwide fashion. What do you think the biggest threat to our constitutional rights are at this moment?
They're using tactics like tactics with us, where they're using the banking system still, even though we have a president that's a Republican in office. They're still using the banking system to attack, you know, businesses. You know, we're under attack. You know, I have a company called Prosperity Bank who's actually trying to go after us, you know, and shut us down. So, you know, they're out there, they're doing what they need to do, and they're using, you know, the government system. They're in conjunction with the administration and stuff like that. And so you got to be on your P's and Q's, and you have to watch everything because they're trying to come after, you know, everyone.
Yeah.
And so they're doing it to gun stores. They're doing it to, you know, whether you want to believe it or not. So, hey.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things they'll do is they'll like in Australia, they'll do gun control, but then they'll carve out certain groups that get gun control when others don't. That's not how this works, actually. No, at least not in America. We all have a right to speak. We all have a right to own guns. God bless the founding fathers for writing that stuff down and codifying it in the Bill of Rights, because you can see just how quickly it can all be stripped away in these other countries. Michael Cargill, thank you so much for being here with us, folks. If you're in Texas and need a gun, go to Central Texas Gun Works. Follow Michael Cargill on X at Michael D. Cargill and the website michaelcargill.com. Thanks so much for being here, sir.
Thank you. As always, more guns equals less crime. Go out there and buy yourself a gun.
That's a fact. Trust the science, folks. More guns, less crime. That's going to be it for us. We'll see you tomorrow here on The War Room. In the meantime, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself a big-ass knife. We'll see you next time.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. Now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rating. 5 milligrams of this a day. Most people think creatine is just about better muscle, healthier, more stamina. It's been proven, it's been documented. I'll show you what Grok had to say about it here in just a moment. But the first thing you need to understand is that it's not just making your muscles better or your body be able to do more exercise. It's doing all these incredible things for your brain and everything else. And that's really more and more what scientists are saying people should focus on with creatine. And just since I've been taking creatine for the last few months, it has had dramatic effects on my clarity, my focus, my energy, especially when used with ultramethylene blue. Again, everybody knows about muscle and performance, or most people do, but what are the other benefits? Grok says secondary emerging benefits, improves anaerobic capacity and power output, may increase glycogen storage in muscles when combined with carbs. Potential brain benefits, improves cognitive performance under sleep deprivation or mental fatigue. Possible neuroprotective effects being studied in traumatic brain injury, Parkinson's, depression, etc. May benefit vegetarians and others who have a lower level of creatine in their diet. Who benefits the most? Older adults, strength and power, people with low dietary creatine. It goes on and on. Bottom line, if you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.